number 5. I want you to take your Bibles and turn there with me to John chapter number 5. Familiar passage of Scripture, which I say that about every passage of Scripture because I feel like I read them all the time. But anyhow, it may not be very familiar to you, but hopefully it will be after we're through. But John chapter number 5, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. And I think I'm going to read down through verse number 14, and we'll just kind of go along. And you hang with me, if you will. If you don't have a Bible, you can look up on the screens or look over with your neighbor if they can find John, all right? Now, John chapter number 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these, the porches, lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity, 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Now, a lot just happened in 6 verses, all right? One, we have Jesus coming to Jerusalem. The Bible says that he come in through the sheep, or by the sheep market. This is where they would bring the sacrificial lambs into Jerusalem. Ain't that a pretty picture? He comes in, and there beside the sheep gate is the pool of Bethesda. Me and Michelle got to walk in the pool of Bethesda. We got to, which by the way didn't have no water in it. But anyhow, we seen the ruins of it. We got to see what it was, and we got to see some of the porches and different things as it has been excavated and dug up, and it is 100%. I like our guide. He said, there's a lot of tradition here. He said, and there's some truth. And he, when we got to the pool of Bethesda, he would say, this is not tradition. This is the pool of Bethesda. And so me and Michelle actually got to visit this place. The word Bethesda is thought to mean mercy. So pool of mercy is what it basically was being referred to. Jesus comes here, and the Bible tells us that there was all kind of people that were laying around. There was all kind of people that would congregate in these 5 porches. This was not a spa. This wasn't a place where you go swimming. This wasn't a place where everybody was there to have a good time and then to party. This was where all the sick people would go for the purpose of being healed. And so when Jesus comes and he sees this man laying there, the question that he asks is, wilt thou be made whole? Now, it don't seem like that would have to be a question that would need to be asked, okay? I mean, that's why he's there, is to be healed, all right? And I'm sure that you've heard that before, but we're going to get back to that and why Jesus asked that question. I believe there's an answer to that. Verse number 7, the Bible says, "The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." Boy, Jesus, he get all in their grits on the Sabbath day. Boy, nobody wanted to work on the Sabbath day. When we was over in Jerusalem, they got an elevator. I might have told y'all this, but they got an elevator that's the Sabbath elevator. All right? They got. We were in this hotel, and it was really, really nice. And they had three elevators. You could get two of the elevators. You could get on. You could go up and down any way you wanted to. But the one elevator was a Sabbath elevator. When you got on the Sabbath elevator, it stopped at every floor. Went all the way up and come all the way down, stopping at every floor. Why? Because it was too much work to push the button. No work on the Sabbath. I ain't kidding. I'm like, I go to get on the elevator, and somebody like, don't do that. I said, why not? That's the Sabbath elevator. Unless you're going to the second floor, you don't want to be on that one, all right? All right, so this is their mindset, and Jesus just messed that all up, because what does he do? He just walks right up in the middle of it all, heals somebody on the Sabbath day, then tells them, hey, get up, take your bed up, pick it up, and walk off with it. Man, these people can't even push a button on the elevator, and here this dude is carrying a bed. Some issues, all right? Everybody with me? The Bible says in verse number 10, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. I hope to get back to that. Verse 13, and he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Verse number 14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee, or come unto thee. As we look at this passage of Scripture, we've already dived into it just a little bit, delved into it just a little bit, and we've come to the conclusion that we are in Jerusalem. We've come to the conclusion we're by the sheep gate. We've come to the conclusion we're at the Pool of Bethesda, and we know the type of people that are there. There's five porches that are there, that are located there, all around this pool, and the people that are laying there, each individual had their own problem. There may have been one that was blind according to the Bible. There was one that was halt. There was one that was impotent. As you go on around that thing, you can find all kind of trouble, all kind of diseases, all kind of catastrophes, all kind of crises in every single individual life around that pool. But every single one of them was there for one purpose. That purpose, according to them, was to be healed. Now, we don't know how much of this is true concerning the angel, whether it was tradition, whether it was truth, but tradition said that there was an angel that came down and troubled the water. And when the water was troubled, the first individual from the five porches that got into the water would find healing. Now, once again, I believe it was tradition. I believe it was nothing more than a tradition. And because of the multitude, by the way, multitude of people, when you think of these porches, don't think of your front porch, all right? This was a multitude of people. It's real easy to say somebody got healed over on porch number three when you're standing on porch number one. It's real easy to say somebody got healed over on porch number five when you're on porch number two. The fact of the matter was, to verify what was going on and people being healed would be almost impossible with everybody rushing to the water at the same time in the event of something troubling the water, whether it be an earthquake or whether it be anything else. But all these people were there for the purpose of getting healed. They were right next to a sheep market. They was right next to the gate that would lead into this sheep market. And this sheep gate, if you will, would have people coming in and out of it constantly. And here they were sitting there, unable to do anything while life around them was going on. I entitled this saying, not dead, just not living. Not dead, just not living. Here they are, Brother Jesse, sitting there in the mire, the nastiness of this place. Can you imagine? These people can't move. A bathroom break. You don't jump up and run to the bathroom. You don't jump up and go do your business or whatever you got to do, because you might miss out on the troubling of the water. This wasn't a place, as I've said already, they didn't have lounge chairs out and umbrellas and SPF 15 for everybody that was hanging out. This was a place where you come for one purpose and one purpose only. And that was to find healing. These people were laid around, according to the Bible, a multitude of people. I don't know if that's thousands or hundreds of thousands, but here they are sitting on these porches while just a few feet from them, Brother Scott, life goes on. They're confined to that porch. This man, in his own confession, he said, "I have no man to put me in the pool." Almost as if he couldn't get there himself, Brother Scott. He couldn't make it there. He's going to have somebody to carry him. And so here he sits, not dead, just not living. Not dead, just not living. I mean, he's alive. He ain't in the morgue. He ain't in the grave. But he's not living. Can I say this? There's a lot of people that are walking around. They ain't dead, but they ain't living. And their disease isn't that they can't walk. Their disease isn't that they can't see or they can't hear or they can't talk. Their disease, as this says, some were withered. Their disease isn't that they can't function and they can't work. They just... not living. Not dead, just not living. Their disease isn't something that's easily identifiable, but they carry it wherever they go. Their disease is not something that you can see on the outside, but yet they carry it everywhere they go. How many? I need somebody to help me right here. There's a lot of folks that are carrying around stuff inside that you know nothing about. Some of you probably didn't know my story concerning church. You hear me preach on church hurt and wonder, how can you relate to church hurt? Brother, I can't. I can put you right into place when all eyes are on you and the whole sermon, the whole thing's just been nixed. Everything's been thrown out just so somebody can focus in on you and an issue that they have with you and exploit it for their benefit in front of the whole church. I've been there. I can relate to it. I can relate to sitting there and having to take it when I really wanted to get up there and punch him in the mouth and see if he was living in the Holy Ghost. Because I wasn't saved at the time and I didn't really care if he was or not. I'd sat at the poker table with deacons in the church. I'd been around enough religion to know that I didn't want anything to do with it. Carry that hurt for years. I'm thankful me and that man finally got things right, but I'm telling you, I carried that hurt for years. I carried bitterness over things for years. Nobody could see it. Nobody can see what was going on, but it was a disease and it was killing me. And if I didn't get some help, it was going to leave me right there, close to mercy, but not yet obtaining it. I like it. As we look at these folks, ain't no doubt in my mind that they wanted to be healed. But Jesus asked the question, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" I mean, Jesus is asking a question that it seems like the answer is elementary. Everybody there wants to be made whole. And yet he's asking the question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" We'll touch on that as we get into the sermon. I just want to get your interest on it, all right? I got four things I want to give you about this thing as I was looking at it. I want to read some things that I wrote down, if you'll let me do this. Five porches, a multitude of sick people, disgusting conditions, but the sick people were comfortable living in it. I'm going to read that again. There was five porches. There was a multitude of people, sick people, disgusting conditions, nasty. Look to your left, nasty. Look to your right, nasty. Somebody's open sore, nasty. But yet, they'd been accustomed to it, and they were comfortable in it. Everybody all right? Can I say this? There's a lot of folks that are walking around not dead, just not living, that's got real comfortable being around dead things. Gotten real comfortable being around things because they're not well, they're not healed, and yet they found a way to be comfortable in their sickness. Let me see what else I wrote down. Are y'all enjoying this already? I wrote this down. You are a mirror of your surroundings. If you want to know who you are, then look at those around you. We're going to go back to that one too. We're going to circle back as our whatever they call that woman, all right? We're going to circle back to press secretary. We're going to circle back to that, all right? But you are a member, or a mirror, rather, of those that you hang out with. You want to know what kind of person you are? All you got to do is look at the people you hang out with. I am an individual. Okay. You're an individual that sympathizes and that has become what you hang around with, your surroundings. We're chameleons. Is that a word? Is that right? One of you teachers? Y'all don't even know, do you? All right, I look at them. You can sympathize with others who share your problems. And if carried on long enough, you will make yourself comfortable on the porch, never getting the help you need. You can get so comfortable. We'll sympathize with those who have the same conditions that we do. Have you ever noticed that? Some of your best friends have gone through some of the same things that you have. Come on, y'all. Help me now. Y'all got to help me just a little bit before I'm going to preach for 4 hours, all right? Hey, have you ever noticed that the people you hang around with has been through a lot of the same things you have? Got a lot of similar interests that you do? I mean, the people that I hang around with like to ride motorcycles. The people that I hang around with like to hunt. The people that I hang around with like to fish. Is everybody with me? I don't hang around with soccer players. Just had to throw that out there. They wouldn't even have soccer if daddies would be involved in their youngins' lives. That's why they call soccer moms. Is everybody all right? I'm just throwing that out there. I just did that to joke. I'm just messing around. Fact is, though, is that we hang around, we tend to gravitate towards people who are like us and has the same issues and has the same problems that we do. And the problem with that is that we end up getting real comfortable because everybody around us is like that, so we think that is the norm. Y'all ain't getting it yet, but you're going to. We get around these people, and we're around people that are just like us, and we get surrounded by them so much, it's almost like the Klan effect. We just start gravitating towards one another, and then we get this large group around us that are just like us, and we figure that since everybody around us and in our circle is just like us, that is normal. And yeah, we'd take healing, but the fact is that, I mean, it's been 38 years. Just like everybody else. Everybody all right? So how do we come out of this? Not dead, just not living. I want you to notice, number one, you got to lose your excuses. You got to lose your excuses. The question was asked of this man, wilt thou be made whole? Simple question, why was it asked? Well, I think it's answered in the very next verse. The very first part of the verse, the guy didn't say, yes, sir. I sure would like to be healed. Yeah, yes, sir, absolutely. I'd love to be healed. That wasn't the answer. Here's what the answer was. The man answered him, sir, I have no man. I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me in the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Remember, I think most of this is all tradition. While he may think somebody else was stepping down and getting their help, they probably wasn't getting no more help than he was. But the very first thing he offered up, when God asked a question and said, will you be made whole? The very first thing he offered up was, I ain't got no man to help me. I ain't got nobody to help me. I mean, that wasn't what he asked. The question was, wilt thou be made whole? The question today is, wilt thou be made whole? Well, I just ain't got nobody to help me. I want to be devoted to God, but I can't be because nobody will help me. Nobody will help me understand my Bible. Nobody will do my Bible. Wilt thou be made whole? That's the question. It's a simple question. Yes or no? Do you want to change? Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be different? Or are you comfortable on the porch? Have you decided that this is the norm and I'm just going to stay here and make excuse after excuse? That's what this man did. He said, I have no man. He didn't say, yeah, I want to get off this porch. Yeah, I want to be healed. He just, right off the bat, he said, I ain't got no man. I think this question is being answered the same way today. God wants to know, hey, do you want this? Well, God, it seems obvious. I'm sitting here right here by the pool of Bethesda. I mean, I am laying right here on the porch. Wonder if God wasn't thinking to himself, yeah, you've been here for 38 years. That means you had at least 38 times that you could have got to that water, but you ain't got to that water yet. But I ain't got no man. Seems like you could position yourself a little bit. I need somebody to help me. I'm just thinking that if that's the case, and I truly believe that, I'd be on the edge of the water. I mean, I'm talking about if a raindrop hit the water and it rippled, I'd be rolled over in there. Everybody all right? I'm thinking that if you really wanted to be healed, you'd make a way to make sure that you had the best opportunity to be the first one in there after 38 years of sitting around on a porch. I want you to notice what Jesus, is everybody all right? In verse number 6, I want you to notice what it said here. When Jesus saw him lie. When he seen him there, and he seen him there laying down. Do you really want to be healed? Do you really want to be whole? Don't just give me the rehearsed answer. I want to know, is everybody all right? This thing's preaching better than I thought it would. How many of you? Don't lie. Don't you lie and don't you raise your hand. Don't move right now. I'm talking to your spirit right now. You just answer for yourself inside. But how many of you over and over again said, I want to change. I want to change. I want to do more for God. I want to do this or I want to do that. I want to be used by God. I want to be, over and over again, we've said it. But when Jesus comes around, there we are, lying with the rest of the folks. Hey, it'll get better, I promise you. Hang with me right now. Lying with the rest of the folks that said they want to do better and ain't doing it. Lying with the rest of the folks that said they want to grow spiritually, but they ain't doing it. Because they got their excuses too. Well, I would, but my job keeps me from... Well, I would, but my chores around the house keeps me, man. I got to keep up all this property and do all this. I would, but my kids keep me busy. I would. Hey, preacher, I'd come. I'd do it. But hey, now, listen, if Jesus asks, I want to change. My goodness. I'm telling y'all what. This is good. I want to change. Hey, preacher, if Jesus comes by today on Sunday and he comes by the church, you let him know now, I want to change. I think Jesus might have looked on this man and said, wilt thou be made whole? He threw out his excuse, and I think Jesus might have looked at him, you sure don't look like you want to be made whole. Your words might say you want to be made whole, but your actions
I'm having fun. Let me tell you something about your excuses. The life you're living in, staying on the porch, it ain't normal. That ain't the norm. No matter what society tells you, that ain't the norm. Sitting there in your muck and mire, in your disease and in your infestation around them porches while everything else is going on over there on that street, that this is not the norm. This ain't where God wants you. This ain't where God wants you. This ain't normal. Get your mind off of physical ailments, please. I know there's some folks in here with some physical ailments, and man, you want healing more than anything else, and I praise God, I want it for you. But get your mind off of physical right now. We're talking spiritual. There's some things that's going on inside of us that have got us on the porch. We have been on the porch for a long time. We keep saying we want off the porch. We keep saying we want to change. We keep saying we want to be made whole. But every time we're given the opportunity, we throw up an excuse as to why we can't. Well, I would, but I ain't got time to come to that Bible college down there. I ain't got time to come on Sunday night. I ain't got time to do this. Or I ain't got time to do that. And the excuses go on and on and on. And then we get around our friends and we talk about how undone we are. Man, I wish I was. Nah, ain't no I wishing. Let me tell you how it normally goes. Man, them people over there are crazy. Now, Jesus, I want to be made whole. Get over there with your buddies talking about, man, they want you to go to church 3 times a week. 3 times a week. How am I supposed to do that? We got 5 practices with 1 child. We got 5 with the other child. We got 2 games a week with each one of them children. And we got to go to a football game on Friday night. How am I supposed to go to church 3 times a week? Let me move over to this side. They all hate me over there. I got to go out. We have girls' night on Thursday night. We have guys' night on Friday night. We have this and that and the other. Is everybody all right? I got to go to the gym on this day, and I got to go to the gym. Is everybody all right? Man, we work out with people. We work out with people to go to the gym 2 times a day. I'm going to talk about they ain't got no time. Oh, I can't go to church 3 times in a week. Preacher, 3 times in a week. I got to watch all my shows. Used to be I could talk about this as soap operas, but now like, hey, don't you know the Blacklist is on Friday nights? Don't you know? Don't you know Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, Chicago PD, Chicago Death Killing, all this... How am I supposed to, where's the time go? Lose your excuses. I wrote down, you all heard it. Can't, never could. Quit with the excuses. Lose your excuses. Number 2, lift your expectations. What do you mean by this, preacher? The pool can't save you. The people around the pool can't save you. The potential of the pool can't save you. There's only one thing that can save you. And he showed up. It's amazing to me, this man was sitting by water and hoping that water was going to save him, but it was the living water that showed up. Matter of fact, just the chapter before, Jesus had identified himself as the living water. That water was troubled all the time. That water was ready to serve its purpose at all times. That water was ready to heal at all times. But he was interested in a pool. I was troubled every now and then, a season. We got to get our eyes, come on now, help me y'all. We got to get our eyes off of the things of the world. For there's a lot of people in here that their idea of their pool is something that's man-made. And they're sitting around hoping that that pool's going to fix them. Y'all got to help me. We're hoping that some counselor is going to say something. We're hoping that some preacher is going to say something. We're hoping that some this, that, whatever it is, you're hoping that something is going to say something that's just going to change your life. When the only one that can say change your life is Christ. You got to lose your excuses and you got to lift your expectation. You got to get your eyes off of this and get your eyes up there. It's as simple as that. Preacher, that's just too easy to say, and yet nobody does it. I mean, is everybody all right? Nobody does it. Every time I tell, well, that's the obvious answer. It's the obvious answer because nobody's ever tried it. Oh, well, preacher, that's just easy to say. That's not easy to live. How do you know you ain't tried it? Well, I have tried it. Have you now? Come on now, we know how we try things with Jesus. Miss Michelle, I'll help out with the nursery until it's an inconvenience. Hey, I'll help out with security until I got something else planned. I'll be there for Sunday school as long as, you know, we don't decide to have a Sunday fun day. I'll help. Need I go on? Is everybody all right? We know how we try things with Jesus. I'm gonna go to Bible college. I'll be there, preacher. I'll be there on Tuesday night. Well, it was good having you that one Tuesday night. Got your whole 3-year education in one Tuesday night. Well, I wanted to come back, but I had, you know, preacher, it's just busy. It's just busy around the house. I know. It's all right. But lose the excuses. Don't come at me. Y'all fitting to make me mad. Lose the excuses. Time to quit. You wouldn't take them. Hey, you wouldn't take them from your youngin'. Take out the trash. But I'm watching. Boy, I told you to take that trash out. I'm going to tear your behind up. Don't be mean to that youngin' when you're sitting there with God and God said, do this. I will just as soon as we get over with ball practice. What God needs to do, take a belt off to your behind. I need somebody to help me. Watch how you meet out that. Oh, I'm having fun. Yeah. We make time for what we want to make time for. Wow, bless God, I just can't get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to the gym. You could if you went to bed at 9 o'clock at night. Is everybody all right? 9 o'clock at night, go to bed at 9 o'clock at night. Chicago PD don't come on till 10. Y'all wondering why I keep saying that's my favorite, all right? I can see myself as Hank Voigt just slapping somebody around and shooting them in the leg and all that good stuff. If there was ever a policeman that I can identify with, it's Hank Voigt. Oh, but I can't stay up. I can't go to sleep at 9 o'clock. That's crazy. We're normally up till like 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. That's why Sunday morning at 10 o'clock is early for you. I'll move on. Hey, lift your expectation and lose your excuses. Quit looking at the pool. Quit looking at the people around the pool. They in the same condition you are. Hey, quit calling them up. Quit calling them up. Hey, I'm having a problem. I need some help. Can you talk me through this? Get off the phone. That's what they ought to tell you, but they won't. You know what they'll do? They'll cry with you. Meantime, God's sitting up there going, my phone ain't rang yet. Check my missed calls. No, she ain't called me. Hey, is everybody all right? My network is a lot stronger than Verizon's. I'm thinking that's what Jesus says up there. You know how you tell somebody, well, I called you, and did you not get the... No, they didn't get it because you didn't call them. Jesus is going, Some of you ain't called him in a long time. Whoop! Is everybody all right? Some of you, oh, hey, here we go. Some of you, he ain't even got your number plugged in. I'll leave that alone. Let me get on. Hey, lift your expectations. Quit calling sick people and asking them how to be healed. Quit calling sick people and asking them how to be healed. There's one that can heal you. Number three. Y'all ready? Number three, y'all ready? Here we go. You got to leave your environment. Wilt thou be made whole? You got to lose the excuses. You got to lift your expectations. You got to leave your environment. I want you to notice what Jesus said to him. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. He said, get up. Get your stuff. And get out of here. Somebody got to help. Y'all got to help me. See, get up. I can't. I got. Now, if he told you to get up, then don't deduce it. Don't try to figure it all out. Just get up. Get your stuff, because you don't want to have to. You ain't want to have to come back. Come on, I need somebody to help me. There's some of you that ain't got healing because God got you up, but you went back. Got infected again. You got up. He got you through it, but you went right back to it. I'm going to say that again because it sounded good. He got you up and got you through it, but you turned around and went right back to it. And there's a lot of folks that live that same life. That's their expectation in life, is it's just a cycle. God help me, God helps you, you go right back to it. If nothing else, the pandemic has taught us this. If you don't want to be sick, don't be around sick people. You'd have thought everybody had known that, Miranda, but they had to tell us that. If you're sick, stay home so nobody else gets sick. Gee, why didn't I think of that? Is everybody all right? I started to do it, but I figured I'd be the one that blew snot right out of my nose in front of everybody. If one thing it's taught us is, if you don't want to be sick, y'all don't want this preaching at all. Y'all don't want it this morning. Because, see, this is your part. See, you're good with God's part. God's part is to heal me, and you're fine with God doing his part. God's supposed to do his part because he is a healer. God's supposed to do his part because he is a great physician. But you have to do your part. Has that not been preached to us for over a year? Do your part to keep people healthy. Do your part to keep your hands clean. Do your part to make sure that everybody around you is healthy. Now do your part to change. Because it don't do any good for God to heal you and you run right back to the sick folk. You got to leave your environment. But preacher, I've been on that porch with her for 38 years. Yeah, but she ain't getting off that porch. Preacher, he's been on, man, me and him's been side by side for 38 years trying to get off this porch. Yeah, but he ain't made no more of an effort to get off the porch than you have. Come on, y'all, help me now. And if you're not careful, you're going to spend the rest of your life on a porch. Not dead, just not living. You're not dead. There's some form of life there, but you're not living. You're not getting all you can out of salvation. You're not getting all you can out of God. You're not dead, but you just ain't living. And life is going on around you. You think that that porch that you're confined to with the people that you're confined to is the norm. By good? Number four. What time is it? Somebody tell me. I ain't got my watch. I walked out without a watch this morning. 9:30. That is it. We'll go with that. All right. 9:30. Got plenty of time. Plenty of time. Last one. Live as the exception. Yeah. Now listen. Live as the exception. This man found healing. Lose the excuses. Lift your expectations. Leave your environment. He did all three of those. And then he lived as the exception. Now, I sat there with this, and I think about this. What is the normal for somebody that gets a miraculous healing? What's the norm? Let me tell you. There was 10 lepers that come to Jesus. 10 of them. There's 10 of them come to Jesus, Brother Scott. Come to Jesus and wanted to be made whole, and he healed them, Miranda. They took off walking, they healed. He healed them. But only one of them came back. Only one. Out of 10 that found healing, only one came back. Let me tell you something. That's the norm. We are an ungrateful people. I need somebody to help me. We are an ungrateful people. We come to church. Man, we ought to come to church fired up because we get to worship God, but we come to church carrying a load. We get to church and man, it's, let me tell you about this problem I had this week and this problem I had this week. And we carrying the load. Get in a church in a setting where God has made himself real like this morning. We ain't worshiped a lick. We ain't praised him a lick. We ain't, oh, by the way, worship and praise is two different things. See, praise is nothing more than me with my mouth, me with my hands, me shout, this, that, and the other. Worship is a sacrifice. Go read your Bible, man. You go back to the law first mentioned. You go back all the way. First time it's mentioned in the Bible in Genesis chapter number 22, Abraham was offering his son. That's what he called worship, a sacrifice. The best he had, he gave back to the Lord. Whoop. Is everybody all right? So it's different. We like to put them together because praise is easy. Worship ain't. So if we put worship with praise, it just makes it easier to say that we worship, but we really didn't worship because we didn't offer anything. Thanksgiving. To live in Thanksgiving. Let me get back up to my Bible. I want you to notice first off where the man was found. He was found in the temple. Bible says in verse number 14, afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple. There's something to be said about that. There's something to be said about the fact that this healed man, the first place that he visited was the temple. Of everywhere he could have went, he went to the temple. Say, what are you getting at, preacher? Let's just use his words. The Jews, therefore, verse number 10, said unto him that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. What do you think you're doing? It's a Sabbath day. There are laws against what you're doing. Put your bed down. Why are you carrying your bed? I'm glad you asked. Verse number 11. He says, he answered them, he that made me whole, the same said unto me, take up thy bed and walk. Live in. Y'all ready? What I say, live as the exception. He obeyed God even though everybody around was saying, don't do it. Who do you think you are carrying your bed? Hey, sucker, you didn't heal me. God healed me. You ain't a part of my rescue story. You ain't a part of my salvation story. You didn't come to where I was at when I was sick. You didn't show up on my porch when I needed help. Matter of fact, when I needed help, no man helped me. But God did. And I don't care what your laws say, and I don't care what you think is right or you think is wrong. As long as I got breath in these lungs, as long as these 2 feet will walk and these 2 legs will carry me somewhere, I'm going to go to the temple. I'm going to give praise. I'm going to give thanksgiving. I'm going to give honor. I'm going to give glory to the one that saved me. That is living as an exception. Because most people, they don't live like that. Oh, I need some help. Most people don't live like that. Question this morning to you. You want to change? Well, the proper way to ask that is, wilt thou be made whole? No. We start using them biblical words and all that biblical. You start trying to tune all that out. The question was simply this. Do you want to be different? Do you want to change? Or are you satisfied on the porch around everybody else is sick? It's a question this morning for all of us. For the Christian that's sitting in here this morning. I want to grow with God spiritually. Get off the porch. Get up. Get your stuff and get away from that porch. For those that got some other thing you're dealing with inside, maybe it's bitterness, maybe it's a broken marriage, maybe it's something else that you're dealing with on the inside, and it's just, man, it's eating you alive. You just gonna sit there with all the other sick folk? Let them pat you on the back. Oh, bless your heart. I know she was mean to you. I know she was mean to you. Bless your little heart. He's precious. Precious. That's all it is. That's why we like the porch, because somebody on the porch sympathizing with us. Somebody on the porch. That's why we'll stay on the porch. We'll stay on the porch for 38 years because somebody on the porch is telling us it's all right. It's okay. It's going to be all right. Don't you worry about a thing. You can call me anytime you want to. Not that I can do a blessed thing for you, but you can call me anytime you want to. I'll tell you about how bad my story is, how bad my sickness is, how mean my wife is, she don't cook for me either. Everybody all right? I tell you about how mean my boss is. I tell you about what they done to me when I was 18 years old. I tell you about it. We like the porch. But being on the porch, it ain't dead. But it ain't living. I want to live this morning. I want to live life, and at the end of it, I want to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't want to meet God, Miss Jenny. I don't want to meet him and him tell me you could have got off that porch when you were 25 years old, but yet you chose to stay on that porch. You could have got off that porch when you were 30. You could have got off that porch when you was 40. You could have got off that porch. But I like the porch too much. The nastiness. Everybody just like me. It's got to be normal, right? You're not dead. You're just not living. Heads bowed with me. Christians are coming to the altar because you told God 1,000 times you want to change. The only way you're going to change is get rid of some excuses. The only way you're going to change is leave your environment. The only way you're going to change is lift your expectations. Get them off of people. Stop looking at people around here. Stop trying to measure up to somebody else. Stop making the standard of Christian growth your friend. Make it God. Make it Christ. Grow. Maybe there's somebody here this morning. Be honest with this preacher. This thing has so many spiritual implications. That multitude sat there. All of them had something wrong with them. All of them needed help. All of them was hopeless. Sounds like Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I need somebody. All of us. You look around this building, this preacher included, all of us, we've fallen short. Fell short of God's standard. We fell short of God's expectation. But the Bible doesn't leave us there, because the Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God it's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let me break that verse down for you. You can stay on the porch, never get healing. According to that Bible, there's a penalty to be paid for it. According to that Bible, our sin, you can stay in your sin, but there's a penalty to be paid for it, and that penalty is death. But the gift of God was the same gift that came to the impotent man in John chapter number 5. It was a gift that came through the sheep market. A sacrificial lamb. One that loved you so much that he came, took on the form of a human, born in a manger, lived a perfect, sinless life, and died for you on a cross. Your help wilt thou be made whole. Your help wilt thou be made whole. Bible tells us through faith, trust, repentance in Him, we can have eternal life. So I ask a question. Nobody's looking around. If you were to die at this very moment, sitting in that chair you are sitting in, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? I want you to ask yourself, that question is your question. Do you know where you'd spend eternity? If you're sitting in here this morning and you say, preacher, I do not know where I'd spend eternity. I want you to do me a favor and I want you to look right up at me and make eye contact with me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I want you to be honest with me. Preacher, I do not know. Is there anybody like that in our services? It's easy to get comfortable on the porch. Think everybody else, just like you. It's a time for a change. I do not see anybody. If I'm missing you, I want you to raise your hand. Just lift it right up. Is there anybody? Thank you. I see that one in the balcony. Thank you for being honest with me. Is there anybody else? Come on, y'all. Who be honest? You lay your head down on a pillow tonight. Do you know where you'd spend eternity? I don't want to meet God with, I thought I was saved. I don't want to meet God I thought everything was all right. The Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You know. I didn't know why I want to meet God with, I thought. I've been there. I've been in the chair. I have sat there wrestling with within the whole time, knowing that if I died, I did not know where I'd spend eternity. But worried what somebody else might think about it. Worried what somebody else might say if I got up. I'd be making a fool of myself, surely. But here's the thing. Not one person in that church was going to have to answer to God. It was going to be me and me personally. And here's what else I found out. When I got up and I took that walk and I got things right in my life, everybody in that church celebrated with me. Matter of fact, the Bible says that when one gets saved, there's rejoicing in heaven. Don't let a critic keep you from getting where you need to be with the Lord. Don't stay on the porch. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you. Lord, there's a couple that's needing help this morning. might even be more than what I think. One has acknowledged it. One has raised their hand. But Lord, there's some others that are wrestling with it. Lord, I pray right now, God, you give them the courage, Lord, not to walk out of this building the same way they walked in. Get off that porch, Lord. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, they rise up and get off that porch. In Jesus' name. Head still bowed with me. Hey, I want to help you. I want you to come and let me help you. Please. Miss Michelle, I need your help. Heads bowed. Nobody's looking around. Maybe there's somebody else. You didn't look up, didn't raise your hand. But I want to help you this morning if you'll let me. Won't you get up? Come on. Amen. Come on, Miss Miranda. Grab your Bible and come with her. Come on, it ain't too late. Won't you come? We fight this thing. Man, I remember sitting there and wrestling with it over and over again. What you don't know and I do is that as soon as I turned it over to God, as soon as I put my faith and trust in Him, a burden was lifted off of my shoulders. I laid my head down on a pillow that night knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I was to die, I would go to heaven. I sat there that night knowing that if God was to ask me, why should I let you into heaven? I'd say, because your word said that I'm saved. You can do the same this morning. Maybe there was somebody else. One of them never raised a hand, never even looked up at me. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, hey, some folks wrestling with it this morning. God, I pray that you continue to work. Lord, I pray that they know this preacher loves them to death. I'd do anything to help them. But God, this is a work that only you can do. And the only way this work will get done is if they choose to be made whole. It's not a decision I can make for them. I can't help them off the porch. I can't get them off the porch. Just like the man in the story, no man could help him. I can't. I do my best to lead them to you, Lord, but you're the only one that can lift them up off that porch and get them off of it. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, you continue to work in their lives. Lord, as you did mine, God, I pray that they soon come to a realization of their need, put together with their obedience to you. And Lord, through faith in you, I pray that they would put their trust in you and be saved. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. Y'all give the Lord a hand for two people getting saved this morning. How about Jesse's going to help us out with a baptism this morning? Go ahead, Brother Jesse.
You got it recorded, Brother Kenny?
Yes, sir.
All right. Church, this is Emily. She got saved last year and she's come to follow the Lord in baptism. Emily, because your profession of faith, I baptize you now, my sister. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, Brooke, that's your niece. All right. I didn't want to misstep on that. I was going to say daughter, granddaughter. I didn't know where we was headed with it, but it's her niece, and they've been coming to church. That's your granddaughter. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, thank you for being here. Praise the Lord.